Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Terrorists hijacked our religion. So luckily, during the last 7-8 years, with the help of our friends, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Sikh, interfaith has become far more effective now.
On this solemn day, at this sacred hour, once more we pause, once more we pray, as a nation and as a people.
I hate Barack Obama. I'm going to pray that he dies and goes to hell.
Stop killing the abortionists. Stop killing the nurses. Stop killing the receptionists. And stop killing the babies. Killing is not the answer.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
What do they say about making sausage and making laws? They say you don't want to watch either one being done. Now, that's true of civil government. It's also true of church government. It can be messy business. It can be a very human thing. Boring, procedural, formal, but it can also have all the hallmarks of our human sinfulness in it. People tend to think that politics in the church is a bad thing. I disagree. I think politics in the church is simply politics in the church. It can be used rightly or it can be used in a sinful way. We have means of making decisions in church bodies, whether it be a bishop making the decision from the top, congregations voting, or other arrangements, and they vary from church body to church body. Live this Wednesday afternoon, September the 16th, we're going to kick off Issues Etc. today, talking about the process of choosing convention delegates in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They have a convention coming up next summer, and it's important that the process, people understand what the process is, and that the process begins now. Dr. Ken Sherb will join us. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE. 1-877-623-6943. You can email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us, if you're following us at Twitter, @issuesetc. A little later in this hour, Pastor John Olson will join us. We're going to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps, which is not only Alcoholics Anonymous, but it can be Narcotics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous. I think there's a lot of anonymous groups out there. We'll talk about and evaluate the 12 steps. Tim Townsend will join us, religion reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. There's a controversy surrounding a St. Louis grocery store manager who has displayed a crucifix on the wall behind the customer service counter. He's done it for the better part of his, I guess, what, 40 years? 20 years? Some long decades, 40 years of employment with this grocery store, and he's still doing it now. Moving to a new location, it's offending some people. Should it be taken down? Tim Townsend will talk with us. And then I want your thoughts about displaying a crucifix at a grocery store. Audio open lines. We'll also have an NPR story about worship practices and the swine flu. Regardless of what religion you practice, when you get together, people get worried about those communicable diseases. Now it's H1N1. Dr. Thomas von Hegel will join us later in that second hour to remember 3rd century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. Ken Sherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He formerly served as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, welcome back.
It is good to be here, Todd, on a beautiful day.
Why should lay people and pastors get involved in the process of choosing delegates to a convention? After all, politics is dirty business.
Well, as you said, it need not be. You have to have processes for making decisions. And the process that we have in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, just to speak of that one church body, is a process that is electing delegates at what are called circuit forums. And by the way, I'd like to put in just a plug for the whole idea of circuit forums. Unfortunately, a lot of circuit forums only meet every third year about this time for the purpose of electing delegates to a national convention, because they know if they don't elect delegates at that time, at least under our present setup, no delegates from that circuit will go to the convention. But the circuit forum actually can have an awful lot of beneficial things that it does besides electing convention delegates. So I guess I'm at your service here, Todd. Which way would you like to go with this first? Would you like to talk about the delegate election side of the circuit forum or the other things the circuit forum can do?
Let's talk about the delegate and deal with that first. We have a convention in July 2010 in Houston. The Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod does every 3 years, and this one's coming up in 2010, July. Walk us through the process of how we choose this kind of – this begins at the grassroots, how we choose delegates to this convention.
Congregations are grouped together within their districts into smaller groupings called circuits. And a circuit by rule is 7 to 20 congregations. Usually it ends up being about 10 or 11 or 12. They have to have an aggregate communicant membership, those congregations in the circuit, of 1,500 to 10,000 communicant members. And those congregations then meet, their representatives meet, at a circuit forum, and at each circuit forum, each congregation is represented by pastor. If the congregation has more than one, then they have to choose which pastor will cast the vote in their behalf, and a layperson from the congregation. So at a circuit that has, say, 11 congregations meeting in forum, you're going to have 22 official representatives. You can have other people there too, but you've got 22 who will actually cast votes. They will elect a total of 4 people for convention representation. They will elect a voting pastor and a voting layman, and then alternates for each of those two, an alternate voting pastor, alternate voting layman.
And these people will then travel, physically travel, to the church's convention,
right?
And they will be the voting body that votes on resolutions and various decisions made by the, I guess then, that the national church body needs to address at that convention.
Yeah, and that's the way you come up, at least currently in the Missouri Synod, with the people who will be your delegates at the convention. They are elected from these circuits. So you can take the total number of circuits in the Synod, which is 600-some now, and multiply by 2, because you get 2 delegates from each circuit, and that will tell you the number of voting delegates at the convention.
Do all the potential delegates, that is, at this circuit forum, this meeting of people from this group of congregations, local group of congregations, pastors and lay people, do all of the potential delegates show up for the circuit forum?
Unfortunately not. We just had our circuit forum meeting. We do them twice a year, and that's in keeping with the synodical bylaw that suggests that you do meet at least twice a year. We just had our meeting this past Sunday, and no, we did not have representatives from all the congregations. In a couple of cases, we had either a pastor or a layperson, but not the other, and in a couple of congregations' cases, we didn't have anybody representing the congregation at all.
So if someone doesn't show up, a congregation is not represented either by a pastor or a layperson at this circuit forum, they remain unrepresented at the circuit forum. They don't vote.
Right. If you don't have anybody there to cast the vote in your behalf, obviously no vote is cast in your behalf.
Okay, so we're at one of these circuit forums, a gathering of pastors and lay people from area congregations. Paint a picture for us. How does it go?
Well, the election of these delegates is done according to a prescribed order. First, you elect the voting pastoral delegate. And all the pastors currently actively serving in the circuit are eligible to be elected. One of them is elected. And then that congregation cannot provide, say, the lay delegate or the alternate pastoral delegate. All these people have to come from different congregations. So eventually you're going to elect 4, and they all have to come from different congregations. So if you had, say, a nominated layman from the same congregation as the pastor, in fact, at our circuit forum just on Sunday, I deliberately ask people not to vote for me for voting pastoral delegate to the Synodical Convention because we had a limited number of lay people who were nominated, and one of them was from my congregation. And as it turned out, that was a good thing that I said because that guy ended up being elected the alternate lay delegate. If I had been elected the voting pastoral delegate, he would not have been eligible.
But you still both would have been able to cast a vote. Cast a vote at the Circuit Forum.
At the Circuit Forum. As it happens, the man who was elected to be our alternate lay delegate to the convention is also our congregation's representative to the Circuit Forum. But he need not have been.
Okay. With only about a minute here before we take a break, how does someone find out where the Circuit Forum is being held, when it's being held?
Well, a layperson could obviously ask their pastor, and the pastor, if he doesn't know, can contact the circuit counselor. Let me just fill this out if we've got about a minute. You elect the voting pastor, then the voting layperson, and those people have to be nominated ahead of time. You can't just nominate a layperson right there around the table. Those nominations have to be in the hands of the circuit counselor ahead of the meeting. Then you elect the alternate pastor, in case the pastor you elected first can't go. Then you elect the alternate layperson. So again, you're electing a total of four.
Do all four go to the convention, Ken, with only about 30 seconds?
No, the alternates only go if something happens to the quote-unquote main pastoral delegate or main lay delegate. That way your circuit is not left without representation if somebody gets sick or a pastor accepts a call out of the circuit, et cetera, et cetera.
Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. We're going through the process of choosing convention delegates in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. July of 2010, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will hold its triennial national convention. Dr. Ken Sherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Mobile, Missouri, formerly served as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, Ken will fill us in a little bit more on circuit forums and on the election of delegates, why it's so important to be involved in this. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
I know I'm wrong, and I'm going to give you the fact you got to vote. Everybody needs to vote.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the process of choosing convention delegates in the Lutheran Church. Missouri Synod, the second largest Lutheran church body in the United States, holding its convention in July of 2010. The process for that the choice of delegates begins right now. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Ken Cherb is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org is our email address, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Can anyone show up for one of these circuit forums? To this point, it might sound like it's just one pastor and one layperson from each congregation, but can anyone show up and vote?
It depends a little bit upon the rules that a given circuit forum has adopted for itself. I don't know of any circuit forum that has ever declared an executive session where only the voting representatives are in the room. So general answer, I suppose, is yes, you can go. If you're a member of a congregation in that circuit, you can go to the circuit forum meeting.
You said before that the people who are eligible to be elected as delegates at the circuit forums have to be nominated in advance. What does that mean? Do they have to show up with a nomination, or does it have to happen weeks
lay
in advance?
The lay people who are up for nomination have to be nominated in advance. Every active pastor serving in the circuit is automatically eligible. But lay people have got to be nominated by congregations. Each congregation in the circuit can nominate a maximum of one lay person.
Can a lay person show up at the circuit forum and just say, I would like to be considered to be a delegate for the LCMS convention in July 2010?
If a congregation has already nominated that person, yes. If a congregation has not already nominated that person, no.
Is it helpful if, in particular with those lay people, that those who are potentially electing them as a delegate to the convention kind of know a little something about them?
Well, yeah. And I might add, there's nothing that I see in the synodical bylaws that precludes anybody from asking questions of nominees. If you, for example, are considering somebody who's been to a convention before, you might ask them about their experience. You might ask them about how they feel about certain things that convention did. Did you vote for it? Did you vote against it? There's nothing in the bylaws to preclude asking a delegate so that you get the delegate that you want.
What do you say to a pastor who says, look, my congregation, everything's going pretty good here? Or a layperson who says, got a good, faithful pastor. Everything's going pretty good here. Why should I worry about what's going out in the broader church body, the circuit, or the denomination?
Well, of course, that's a huge question, and it's bigger than just whether you go to a circuit forum meeting or whether your congregation nominates somebody. The fact is that what happens at the national level does eventually affect local congregations, and vice versa. What happens at local levels very often impact on an entire national church body. And to think otherwise, especially in this day of rapid communications and so forth, is just putting your head in the sand. If you are concerned about the way things are going, or for that matter, even if you're not, maybe you need to learn a few things. And that's another thing that, by the way, the circuit forum can and should do, is serve as a vehicle to help educate people on what is going on. In fact, the synodical bylaws even say that one of the functions the circuit forum can serve is to be a setting to review and evaluate programs, plans, and long-range directions of the district and the synod. This is precisely a place where you can get together with people who are in your area, who may or may not have all the same ideas about things, but at least share the same general geography, because most of these circuits are pretty much close to one another, the congregations are pretty much close to one another geographically, and you can talk about things and evaluate them.
Before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about the election of national offices, synodical offices, and in particular, nominations for those offices. How does that happen?
There are two different types, broadly speaking, of nomination. One is the nomination for president and vice presidents of the synod. Congregations do that. They get a ballot, an official ballot, which needs to be returned. In this year's case, the deadline is March 10th for the nominating ballots for president and vice presidents to be back in the hands of the people who do the counting on those. And the nominees are determined simply by way of a congregational ballot. In the case of others, like members of boards and commissions, like the board of directors of the synod, the board for pastoral education, certain members of some of the synodical commissions, like the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, or boards of regents of the synod's educational institutions. Those are nominated by a nominating committee. And the nominating committee consists of people who are chosen at district conventions from across the synod. And so at any given convention, there's either 17 or 18 people on the nominating committee, because half the districts are represented in a given convention year. Those nominating committee members will scrutinize suggestions that come from the field. And this year, the deadline for suggesting people to the synodical nominating committee is inside of a month away now. It's October 10th. And anybody can do this. You don't have to be a synodically certified church worker. You don't have to get this approved by a congregation. Any individual member of a congregation in the synod, pastor, teacher, or lay, can suggest somebody for nomination. In fact, you can suggest the same person if you think they're multi-talented and can serve in several different places. You could suggest them for several different positions.
Again, before we let you go, Ken, why is it so important that that there be involvement both on the part of pastors and lay people in this? Sounds like a pretty simple process, but in this process.
Well, especially that latter thing, submitting names to the nominating committee. Every year, the nominating committee always runs up with the same problem. Every year there's a convention anyway. They just kind of run out of suggestions from the field. It takes people who have an eye for God-given talent to spot other people who have that God-given talent and in turn suggest them. If the committee doesn't receive somebody's name, you can't just bank on the fact that somehow or another they're going to come up with it out of thin air.
So one more time, give us kind of the paragraph version of the meeting at the Circuit Forum where delegates, pastoral and lay, are elected to go and cast votes in the National Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, July 2010. Run us through the process very briefly one more time.
Well, it may have occurred already where you are, if you're a listener, because the deadline for that is October 10th as well. And as I said, in our circuit here in mid-Missouri, north-central Missouri, we just did ours this past Sunday. So our delegates are elected. The circuit will elect a total of four people. Two of those four will go to the convention, two pastors, two laymen, from among the pastors and lay people of the congregations in the circuit.
Dr. Ken Cherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He formerly served as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, thank you very much. You make it easier to understand.
Thank you, Todd. It's always a pleasure. By the way, you used to be a circuit counselor. How do you think it used to work?
I think it worked very well, and I think it's, especially when they say politics is dirty, you get these people together. Generally speaking, what you have is an honest exchange of ideas and simple voting, and I walk away from it saying, this is a pretty good system.
Maybe sometime we ought to talk about the other things that a circuit forum can do, because that really is an untapped resource. And even the task force that is currently considering restructure has some big ideas for circuit forums. I've got different ideas than what they do, but I'm glad to see at least that they want to do more with circuit forums.
Ken, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
Listen, you have a faithful pastor, a faithful, solid Lutheran pastor serving your congregation, and you know that the circuit forum is coming up and that it's important for him to be there and for you to be there. Don't let him play golf that afternoon. Don't let him stay home and take a nap or mow his grass. Say, Pastor, you need to be there. You're a faithful Lutheran pastor. You need to be there. You need to even perhaps stand for election to go as a delegate if you can. And you need to at least go there and cast your vote, because it really does matter. Make sure he attends a circuit forum. Offer to drive him. Offer him to take him out to lunch before or after, whatever you have to do. Get your faithful pastor there. Pastor, you know you got faithful people in your congregation. Snag one of them, two of them, three of them, take them to the circuit forum so that they too can go and be a part of this process that is so very important for the future of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.